Last week we read verses 1 to 8 about being blessed if we stay undefiled in the way. And then today we start at verse 9. Let's just, I'm just going to read verses 1 to 8 to rehearse them so we know what we're going to be getting into in verse 9. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. You may be seated. The writer ended with, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Psalm 119, as we went over last week, is all about the Word of God. Word, precepts, statutes, all about the Word of God. Each section is 8 verses, and each verse begins with the same Hebrew letter of the alphabet. The writer ended with a commitment to keep God's word, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It doesn't matter if we can memorize the whole Bible, forwards and backwards, and speak it or teach it. What matters is if we keep it. If we keep it, that's where the blessing is. We read that in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. That's why he ends in verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. The blessing is in the keeping of the word of God. If we keep it, we'll be in a good place. Now we start verse 9. We talk about the cleansing word of God. If we keep it, the cleansing word of God. And he starts off by saying, how can a young man cleanse his way? He cries out, how can a young man stay pure, stay clean in the sight of God, pure and clean in thought, word, and action? How? First of all, we see a desire here by the writer to cleanse a man, a young man, from his way. That's a good start. To have this desire to stay clean and holy and pure. This is a good question. Well, how can a young man cleanse his ways? All of us as Christians should have the same desire to stay holy and pure in God's sight. How can a young man cleanse his way? The same as an old man, a young woman, an old woman, same way. The answer is the same to all people. How can we stay clean and holy and where we're supposed to be? Well, we repent, we confess, we do what God's word says to do to be cleansed. That's the good thing about keeping God's whole word. In it, it tells us how to be cleansed. In 1 John chapter 1, it tells us, confess. He will forgive your sins. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. We're told right there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Through Jesus Christ we're cleansed. You see, we're all sinners. And believers are sinners saved by grace. And our desire should be to stay clean and pure in God's sight once we're separated. The question acknowledges that a young man or people can get dirty in God's sight. Because he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? In order to be cleansed, you have to be dirty. You have to be defiled. But he's saying, I want to be cleansed. I want to cleanse my way. I want to get rid of the junk, the gunk, the dirt that dirties up my life at times. I want to be clean. I may say or think or do something that dirties me up. But hopefully as a Christian, it's less and less. It happens less and less. We should be growing. See, sin is the problem in everyone's life. And that's what he's talking about here. He wants to be cleansed from this and stay clean. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin defiles and makes one unclean. That's why we want to stay away from sin. Now, what is sin? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. What does God say? 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That's why David, when he got caught in his sin with Bathsheba and her husband, and he repented, and we read in that psalm how he cried out, against you, God, and you only have I sinned. Because sin is lawlessness. Who sets the law? Who gives us the commands? God. So when we sin against God. I've talked to a lot of people that have gotten themselves in trouble because of sin over the years. And they want to know, and they want to get right with God. They've sinned against their husband, their wife, their coworker, their neighbor. They've done impure things. And they want to know how they can get their life right. And sometimes people will kind of take a light attitude on sin and say, well, I hurt this person and I've told them I'm sorry and I've repented and I've asked them for forgiveness. And then they think they're okay. But that's the problem, why they're not and why they keep falling. Because they don't have the concept that it's not the person that you're sinning against. It's the person you're hurting, but you're sinning against God. That's why David said, against you and you only have I sinned. We have to be so aware of what sin is that it's transgressing God's word, God's law. And our sin is against the one who gives us the law. We have to know, we have to have a broken heart before God. It's not enough before people. We must have a broken heart before God, a broken and contrite heart and spirit. Say, God, I have sinned against you. And we need to start understanding that when I do something against God's word, I am really sinning against God. Yeah, people I hurt and I do things to, and I shouldn't do that, and I need to confess and ask them for forgiveness, but I'm sinning against God because that makes the whole issue between you and God. See, like when you love someone, dearly love someone, and you hurt them, it breaks your heart. And you don't want to do that. And you're sorry you did it. We have to have that concept when we sin. Oh man, I've sinned against God. And I so love him and he so loves me. And that's why I need to get right before him. And the writer's saying, I want to know how to be cleansed in your sight. We have to get on our face before God and just be quiet and let him speak to us. Let us just repent, confess, and let him just restore us. Because it's us in him. It's all about us in him. And he says, I want to cleanse my way, God. I want to get rid of all of this. I want this over. It's lawlessness against God's law. With my mouth, my thoughts, my actions. I don't know about you, but physically, I hate staying dirty. Sweaty, crummy, dirty. I don't like it. I don't like walking around all dirty. Now, I don't know if you do or not, but if you were to approach me and say, and say you're really smelling nasty, and you were to approach me and say, how can I clean up? I would say, take a shower or take a bath, or I don't want to see you again. See, the answer to question number one here, how can a young man cleanse his way, in verse 9, is to take a shower or a bath and use soap and water. And the Word waters us. That's our water, the Word. We're washed and cleansed in His Word. Get the dirt off your body, and you get in the Word, and it points you to Jesus and to God, and it shows you what you must do. But, you know, when it talks in Ephesians about husbands, you know, taking care of your wives and loving them as Christ loved the church and washing them by the Word, cleansing them. It has this washing effect. When we come into church and Bible study, we get washed in the Word. And I feel, man, it's so dirty out there in the world. And it feels so good to be cleansed. And so it's the same way. Hey, just take a shower and be cleansed in the Word. We see the term young man here. How can a young man cleanse his way? Because young people are attacked and tempted severely in our world today, and always were. The hormones are really going. The desire to be grown up and act like a grown up and be free to fulfill one's feelings are there. And this is, you know, been proven. The brain is not yet fully developed. And when I look back at my life and I say, that's true. I always used to say that, you know, which part of the brain is not developed until late in the 20s? The part of the brain that convicts you of consequences of actions. And when I look back at my life, I'm going to say, amen. I wasn't thinking about getting caught or what I was doing. I thought I was invincible because your brain isn't there yet. It's not fully developed to that point. And so there's a great attack on us when we're young. And man, we want to try and taste everything and see how it feels and be like everybody else. Therefore, consequences of actions and decisions, they are not a young person's mind. You just want to be doing something in life. And so he says, man, I'm in this world, and how can a young man cleanse his way with so much around? And my body acting like this. The tragic truth is, when a young person, a young man or woman, falls into a sin, they can ruin the rest of their life. There's many people that have. They get into things when they're young, and they ruin their brain or their life, or they get into trouble that follows them all their life. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God at a young age. And this is a great question. How can a young man cleanse his way? A young person, anybody, cleanse his way to stay clean and holy. You know, Paul really loved Timothy. He counted him as his spiritual son. He says, my son Timothy. And he wrote exhorting in 2 Timothy how to be. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Second Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, being dishonorable, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful. If you want to be useful for the master's work and prepared for every good work, you've got to cleanse yourself. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You're a peacemaker. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, and love. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Don't get into disputes or arguments. Avoid them, knowing that they gender strife. We want to be peacemakers, not causing strife. And so he tells him how to be here. because Timothy was a young man. Now, back to our text. How can a young man cleanse his way? He gives us the answer in verse 9. By taking heed according to your word. Reading, studying, knowing God's word, and obeying God's rules. Obeying his word, doing it. You can keep your way, you can be cleansed, forgiven through the way the Bible tells us, and you can also stay clean by taking heed according to your word, God, by obeying the word of God. That's why we're daily in the word of God. And just think about it. If I completely obey the word of God, I'll be slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to listen. I won't be anxious for anything, but I'll pray about everything with thanksgiving. I'll love my neighbor. I'll love others as myself. I'll do all these things. I'll stay away. I'll depart from evil. I'll flee fornication. I won't be involved in those things the Bible tells me not to. If I stay in God's word and listen to his commands, if I take heed to his word, I'll be cleansed. And as the first 8 verses, I'll also be blessed. And just think about it. If we completely obey the word of God, we'll have a pretty good life. Our problem, we don't always obey it or even read it. You know, God told King Saul after his disobedience to God's command, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. God desires and requires our obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. We will have a blessed life. In other words, in God's kingdom, nothing can replace obedience to his word. Nothing. Service, giving, nothing can replace obedience to God's word. And when we face him one day, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. Many don't want to look into God's word because the word of God exposes. It says it's like a mirror. You know, people don't want to look in there because you look in there and say, ooh, I don't like what I see. People don't want to know they're dirty. They love where they're at. They're comfortable in their sin. See, Satan doesn't want anybody in the word of God. He doesn't want people going to church and studying the word of God. Then they'll be living right. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 22. But be doers of the word, James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not only hearers. You're only deceiving yourselves then. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. And for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Do the word. Obey it. You will be blessed. You don't want to be a person that looks into the word of God and walks away and you still continue to disobey it. See, the word of God cleanses us, washes us. It's good to shower and bathe in the word of God each day. Then back to our text, verse 10. The writer writes, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. What a great prayer. Don't let me wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I have sought you. This declares that his whole heart is committed to seeking God and his word and have fellowship with God. That's what he's committing to, a wholehearted commitment to God. With my whole heart, I have sought you, Lord. Therefore, don't let me wander from your commandments. He's really praying, "Don't, hey, Lord, please keep me. Don't let me wander from your commandments." That's a good prayer. Pray for God's strength to resist sin and to obey God's word. Hey, Lord, keep me. Don't let me wander. Don't let me get tempted. Wake up in the morning. Use the model prayer of Jesus. Give us this, you know, keep us from temptation. Lord, don't even let me see or hear anything that would tempt me. You remember the prodigal son in Luke? He took off and spent everything and squandered it and got into sin. Then he was wandering. But then he came to his senses and he says, "I'm going back home. I'm going back home where it's better with my father." And the first thing he did when he got back, he says, "I have sinned against God and I have sinned against you. I'll just be glad to come home and be your servant." That's how horrible it is to wander away from God's commandments. It's miserable. In verse 11, here's a key to keep us from wandering in verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Your word, God, I have hidden in my heart. I don't always have a Bible near me. I'm not always around Christians. I don't always have access to look up a verse. But wherever I go, I always have my heart. That's for sure. Like I always tell you, wherever you go, there you are. And wherever I go, there is my heart. And that heart, that word heart means the center. The center of my feelings, will, and intellect. It's the real me inside. The word actually means the center of me. The center of my feelings, will, and intellect. The word of God must travel from my head, not just head knowledge. I know atheists who can quote the Bible. That isn't going to do it. It's got to travel from my head to the center of my being where I receive it, take it in, and it's written on the tablet of my heart, and it guides my life. I am committed to God and His Word in my heart, in my being. I'm yours, Lord. That's a long distance for some people from their head to their heart. Others, it happens right away. They're just fully committed. Must travel, though, to the center of my being where it's written on the tablet of my heart. Therefore, it's always with me, His Word. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God daily, taking it in. "Your Word I have hidden in my heart so that I'm always conscious of you in your Word, God." And why? End of verse 11. "That I might not sin against you." What will keep me clean? Hiding God's word in my heart so that I might not sin against Him. So that I'm always conscious of what's right and wrong. See, that's why Satan doesn't want people studying the Bible. "That I might not sin against you." I was the same way as an early Christian. Walking around asking people, is it okay to do this and still be a Christian? In other words, I want to know what I could get away with and still be a Christian. And God is so gentle with us, isn't He, that He slowly teaches you and He starts taking these things away. And you realize, oh, wait a minute. The question isn't, can I still do this and still be close to God? The question is, how far away can I get from this and be closer to God? I don't want to do that anymore. He wants people to know His word, so that we don't sin against Him. And as you're ready to do something, there will come the conviction and the word of God, and you'll hear the Holy Spirit say, "Don't do that, Jim. Don't say that." Maybe you're ready to give someone a piece of your mind. And the Satan gets in your ear and he says, "Go ahead. Tell them they're wrong, you're right. Give them a piece of your mind," and he'll encourage you to do that. But the word of God says, don't repay evil for evil. Repay evil with good. Love one another. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Put it in the Lord's hand. Because if you give too many people a piece of your mind, you're not going to have anything left. So we, you know, it brings, Holy Spirit brings conviction. It brings, we are brought victory over temptation through God's word, through the scriptures. Then verse 12, he cries out, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me, you know, blessed, God, you're blessed, and you bless me. And then he says, teach me your statutes. And you know what he's saying here? Lord, I want you to teach me. What better teacher could we have than God? He says, Lord, I want you to teach me. Teach me your statutes. This man wants to be God taught. And we have the curriculum, the Bible. Now, how does that apply to us today? We now have the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Turn ahead to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. Jesus is speaking, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. God will teach us through the Holy Spirit. If we're up here teaching pastors, teachers, God gives you that gift. We share the word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes that word alive and relates it to us. So he's the helper, the Holy Spirit. He will teach us all things. Turn ahead to John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. So he will teach us, and he will guide us, and he'll point us to Jesus. And this writer writes, Lord, please teach me. And we have that opportunity to have that happen today. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. What he's saying is, I know your word and your judgments, therefore I'm going to share them. And knowing God's will, word, and delighting in it should instill in us a desire to share truth with other people. And then verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He rejoices in God's law as in all riches. In other words, the Bible is full of gold nuggets, spiritual riches. And as I obey, I'm blessed and I learn. But there's this gold, this gold nuggets in the Word of God. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and come across one of these gold nuggets and you're all excited and you can't wait to share it with someone else? It's like, wow, God, thank you for showing me that. It's great when you read his word and God brings something out, just what you needed at the right time. You know, you can read the word. I don't know how many times we've gone through the Bible, my wife and I, but each time we go through it, there's something new. You say, wow, how come I never saw that before? There's like finding these gold nuggets. That's why we stay there. It's so rich. It's life-changing. God's word is rich. As much as in all riches, better than all riches. Verse 15, he says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Meditate and contemplate. Meditate, thinking over, dwelling on God's word. Contemplating means you look into it, you dig into it, and then you take heed to God's word. Not just read it, but digest it. Let God speak to you about it. I will meditate on your precepts. Have this quiet time with God and contemplate your ways. It's rich. And then verse 16, he says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I'm going to delight in you, God. So many people just don't want to go and hear the word of God. Don't want to go to church. It's like it's a burden to them. He says, I'm going to delight myself in your statutes. We need to look forward to getting into the word of God. Like, wow, God's going to speak to me. He says, we need to delight in that. Be anxious and eager and happy to get into God's word. And I got to study a chapter today. We want to get into God's word. Like, delight in it. Say, and be anticipating God saying something great to you. Just what you need today. There's no better teacher. Getting into God's word and let him teach you. Let him speak to you. Direct you. Give you wisdom. Delight myself in your statutes. We need to be delighting and looking for that time to get in his word. We don't want to speed read. See if I can do 10 chapters today. Oh, I did it. I did 11. I'm way ahead now. No, that's not what it's about. I've always said this. Read as much as you can digest, where it's doing you some good. Maybe you can do a half a chapter a day, one chapter a day, but it really speaks to you and you can know how to apply it to your life. That's good. Better than a person that reads 10 chapters and it's in and out. Digest it, meditate on it, contemplate it. And he says, I'm going to delight in that in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, doesn't mean that he's going to remember everything word for word. It means that he's going to know it in his heart and not forget to be in it and recall it. It's good medicine. It blesses us. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for instructing us on your word. Let it be a delight to us to continually be in your word and read your judgments, your statutes, your commandments, everything you have for us, Lord, your promises. God, I pray that our hearts would be delighting in you, just trusting in you with everything in our life. If you can't help us, then no one can. You are the one we go to, Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. We thank you for that verse, Lord. All we need is you. And we thank you that you never leave us or forsake us, and you will teach us. Lord, draw us all into that deep fellowship and relationship with you. Let our hearts burn toward you, Lord, on fire for you. And I pray we're overflowing with our love for you. Thank you so much for allowing us to gather together tonight. We just pray now as we worship and pray that you would inhabit this place and guide us in these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.